The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will come to you. The Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Good to see you all here this morning. Some people might not be here, but I want to show us a little friend that I brought along today. Can you see this guy? You can see him, right? Stand right now. It's not Halloween, it's Pentecost, just to clarify that. But we had this reading about Ezekiel, and he had a dream, a vision. And God was talking to him through that vision. And he saw all these bones just laying around. And the Spirit of God called to him and said, "You need to do something about these bones. You need to say, there's hope." So all of a sudden, when Ezekiel's talking to these bones, they start coming together, right? And then they stand up. And it's all because they have the power of the Spirit to actually do that. Accidentally. So when they could stand up on their own, it's because Jesus is with them, the Spirit. Because we talk about God, Jesus, and the Spirit. They're all three. They're all there together. But these bones can't move unless the Spirit helps them do that. We can't move unless we have the breath in our lungs, that we are alive. The same breath, the same Spirit that moved when God created the first humans. God and Jesus and the Spirit are the ones that make everything happen, right? Now, we aren't just like puppets like this guy because, you know, this guy won't move unless somebody moves him, right? And you could see how that might be kind of a puppet thing. But God gives us life and breath so that we can make the right choices through Jesus and through the Spirit to live our lives for one another and to love one another. So let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that put your church together, that brings us together, that helps us to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this beautiful day. There's so much to say about all of these readings today, but I promised you, my family, and myself that this would be a shorter sermon today. So here we go. The Pentecost that we hear about in Acts 2 this morning is not the very first Pentecost. Big surprise, I know. Pentecost is a Jewish festival of the fruits, first fruits, that occurred 50 days, that's where we get the word Penta from, after Passover. And the very first Pentecost happened on Mount Sinai. So we have this first Christian Pentecost reading today, if you wish to think of it that way. And it's happening with Jewish believers from everywhere. We have this list describing the diversity of Jewish believers, which some church readers, Carly did an excellent job, dread to see, right? And even some pastors might get a little nervous, but the Parthians, the Medes, Emilites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. They're all there together, just a huge group. This is a remarkable diverse group of people, but they are all Jewish believers. And this is what God has always said that God would do, work through Israel, the chosen people. The Spirit of God comes to them. In Acts 2, we hear, and suddenly from the heaven, there came a sound like a rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Of course, the reaction of the disciples is one of amazement and astonishment. Earth, wind, and fire all working through the Spirit, working in unison for the glory of God. And the result is that everyone is hearing the Spirit speak through the disciples, and they understand what is being said in their native tongue. Now, that's totally different from the Tower of Babel because nobody can understand all of the many different voices were out there. This was the coming together of the Spirit and the people. Now, we don't know everything that was said or what they heard, but we do know that Peter stood up and began preaching the book of Joel. Why, Joel? Hey, don't overlook the minor prophets. Acts 2, Peter says, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that's not it. That's not all. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why is this important? As Dr. Corey Driver puts it, the Spirit is poured out at this first Christian Pentecost on the chosen, so that the things that they, maybe we, see as barriers are not barriers for God. Gender is not a barrier. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Age is not a barrier. Young and old will see and dream. They will see visions and will dream. Personal status is not a barrier. Servants and the wealthy will be drenched in the life-giving Spirit, and they will prophesy. The Spirit has been setting up her work. As we heard in the last few weeks, she sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch to remind us those like him are included and welcomed. 2 weeks ago, we heard about Cornelius and the inclusion of other Gentile Roman citizens who are included in God's grace and love. God is always expanding those circles that we keep on drawing to keep people in and out. And that is the good news about Pentecost. Sure, the fire and the rushing wind, they're all exciting to imagine, but the real exciting part of the gift of the Holy Spirit is that she is here with us and continues to move our dry bones to see visions, to prophesy as we are filled to the brim with the Spirit of God, to include God's people, love God's creation, and explore past every boundary. John's gospel today explains Jesus is sending the Spirit to prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And it all has to do with what Jesus, the Son of God, has done. As Christ followers, we are washed of sin and free to live in a grace-filled life for ourselves and then offer that grace to others. As believers, we are grafted into the true vine of Jesus and connected to God's righteousness. And as God's children, we are not judged by the ruler of this world because he has already been condemned, but by the Savior of the world. The Spirit will push us past our understanding into the truth of God and all the ways that it will be revealed to us now and in the future. John 16, Jesus declared, "God will glorify me because God will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that God will take what is mine and declare it to you." We have this exhilarating promise. On this 50th day after Pentecost, on this festival of first fruits, we have the life-giving Spirit of God within us. And this life-giving Spirit of God is driving us out into the wilderness of West Lafayette and the world to bring hope to the dry bones and the broken. That same Spirit of God used to create life out of dirt and dust, that same Spirit that propelled rushing winds and tongues of fire on the disciples, the same breath from the four winds who brought life to dry bones in the valley, is now in our lungs. It is within us. All that is God's was given to Jesus, and now to us. We are the body of Christ in the world, and the Spirit will lead us past our human-made boundaries so that everyone will feel the love of God. And for this, we say thanks be to God. Amen.